Hey, welcome everybody. This is the State of the CIO, where we talk with America's top IT leaders about the changing role of technology in the C-suite. I'm your host, Dan Kelly. All right, everybody. We have Ben Davis with us today. He's the Executive Vice President and Chief Digital Officer of Cambria Corporation, located in Minnesota with me. Hey, Ben, how's it going?
Good afternoon, Dan. How are you? Down in sunny Minneapolis, we're finally getting some hot weather this summer.
Excellent. That's wonderful. Yes. Yes, I can relate to that. It's been nice, even though I'm currently talking to you in Princeton, New Jersey, where it's about 90 degrees and 90% humidity.
Wow.
So, yeah. Hey, Ben, could you give me just a quick overview of your personal history and professional history? All of our listeners like to know, the professional background of all of our guests. What interests you in IT, how you got to the role you're in today, and just a quick overview would be helpful.
Absolutely. So I started my career at a large manufacturing company in southern Minnesota called Taylor Corp. It was one of the largest social and commercial printers at the time. I joined about 25 years ago, and I hope to end my career at a large manufacturing company in southern Minnesota called Cambria, which manufactures the finest natural stone product in the world. Between those times, I had the pleasure of starting out of an IT department and into consulting services, first for an IBM business partner. And then way back in 2000, I was acquired by a company that coined itself an application service provider, ASP. So kind of a grandfather of the cloud. So I had the pleasure of being exposed to hosting core application technologies for businesses and delivering them in a utility fashion way back in 2000. So between the time I started in consulting and then I joined Cambria, I worked with about six or seven different startup companies or early stage companies that were using the cloud to deliver core applications to end customers.
That's excellent, Ben. Yeah, you've got quite a serious background. So for all our listeners out there, I know Ben on a personal level. He takes an entrepreneurial approach to a very large title, which always isn't easy to do in large companies. So in that same vein, Ben, could you tell me what your top three IT priorities for your organization are right now?
Absolutely. So we're definitely in the midst of our digital transformation. You hear the old cliche, there's three types of companies out there: those that have completed a digital transformation, those that are going through a digital transformation, and those that are going out of business. We're in the middle of that right now. What's interesting about it and what I'm reading and what I'm hearing from even speakers this week as I attend technology functions and transformation-focused functions outside of work is that digital transformation is more about people than anything else. It's easy to pin it to the technology part of it, but it's definitely about the technology is important to it, and it's not an easy part of it, but I would argue it is easier than changing people. So changing the technology, enhancing the processes, and getting the people to change is our challenge in IT. And it was interesting, listening to a speaker this week, and he talked about how IT's function is to build a digital quilt, and the squares of the quilt are the applications that we have to weave together or knit together in order to keep the company warm and safe. And I thought that was a really good analogy. And that quilt can't be built without people, not just in IT, but in the business adopting technology. It's mission critical to everywhere that business and government and even our personal lives are going every day. People have to adapt to technology and make their lives digital. It's going to be difficult for them to compete and to flourish.
That's really great, Ben. Yeah, I love that analogy. I've never heard that before. So whoever came up with that is a genius because it's a good analogy. It's a good visual. That's excellent. Yeah. So you're in the midst of the digital transformation. I'll tell you, on that note, I know you're moving quite a bit of your infrastructure to the cloud from a historical on-premise environment. So hindsight's always 2020, right? So can you tell me a little bit about your experience right now moving from on-premise to the cloud? And in addition, maybe a few things that you've learned from that experience that you wish you would have known at the beginning of that journey.
Well, like I talked about in my career experience, I had the ability and opportunity to deliver cloud services to end customers. So I got a firsthand look at what it took to sell, to commit, and to deliver against service levels. uptime service levels, help desk response time service levels, throughput service levels. So I think anytime you're making a decision about the cloud, it's mission critical that you agree the service levels that meet the needs of your business. And we're involved in some pretty big clouds that came here right now, and there's a little bit of control you lose. And sometimes that's tough if those providers have issues or incur outages to your users. But my whole philosophy around technology at Cambria and my whole philosophy in my career has been get my technologists, who are business-minded technologists, as close to where the entity is making or saving business as possible. And we've done a pretty good job of using our cloud providers to serve as the utility-based technology or the commodity-based technology, and let the experts do it for us. So my core team, and I've got a scarce amount of core team, I mean, wouldn't be wise for my business to hire hundreds of IT people. We can assign the limited resources we have to those places in the business where technology is going to make or save us money. And that's where I want my technologists playing always.
Yeah, and I tell you, you spoke earlier about, let's call it change management for, you know, people, process, and technology. But, you know, we all understand that this is just, it's a house of cards with people, right? If you don't have the hearts and minds of the people with you, you're going to be fighting an uphill battle. You know, are there any lesson learns, quick wins that you were able to take away from kind of the journey you've been on right now, moving to the cloud or just really within your overall transformation roadmap that you've been on?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you our transformation to Google has been better than we expected. I mean, we still do have a few users that have been around a while and are concerned about their inability to do certain things in Outlook that they're very comfortable with. We didn't force use of the G Suite, but it's happening organically. And we were surprised that our transition to Google was as easy as it was to G Suite and Gmail and Calendar, because more people than we thought were already using it in their personal life. So it was second nature to them. And now we see a lot of folks in our organization outside of IT using sites and using forms and other things to create content and to communicate in ways they never have before.
That's really good. I mean, it almost, if I could take a takeaway there, it's try to make a seamless transition between the work and personal life, right? And obviously, Google has done that in all of our lives every day, right?
Absolutely. And that's not to say we're not fans of Microsoft. There's current core things that are intrinsic to our business that we leverage Microsoft for.
Right. Yeah. You know what? I have this burning question in the back of my head, Ben, that I ask everybody, because especially as the leader of an IT organization, you know, you're constantly trying to balance priorities with time to value, right? What best practices have you learned over your career, finding the right balance between keeping the lights on, right, and testing new innovative ideas that can move the needle for Cambria, right? Let's almost call it DevOps, but it's really keeping the lights on with the infrastructure, keeping the quilts intact versus trying something really new and innovative, which is going to be a drain on resources, but could have a huge upside potential.
Yeah, so we commit a certain amount of our resource pool specifically to infrastructure, and we leverage the cloud very heavily there. We also leverage open source technology where we can to save money. And we leverage managed services to take the commodity tasks out of their job so infrastructure can focus on ensuring our core technology is there to help to make our product and sell that product. When we innovate, we engage with members of our business. So I was just at an event with our operations team today, the leadership of our operations team. An operations team does a very good job of driving innovation. And where we found the most success is driving innovation is not putting 10 people in a room for a day and come up with ideas and beat them up on the whiteboard. It's get with the people that are working what we call the 3 feet of the company, the people working on the line, the people working in our fab shops or in our warehouses, or the people that are out in the Cambria branded Priuses that are selling our product, and finding out how they're doing their job and what they need to make their job more successful. And at times we find some sustainable innovation there that changes things a little bit. And there's been times where we've found disruptive innovation, particularly in our factory operations, where we've been able to leverage technology to scale. And that's core to our business as we manage our resource and our capital pool.
I'm curious, Ben, do you take almost a measured approach? Because I heard you say early on that, you know, you allocate a certain amount of hour, time, days, you know, percentage of role. Do you take a certain percentage of FTE and say, you know, this is the amount of time you should be working on innovative ideas? Or do you leave that up to the discretion of the individual?
We leave that up to the discretion of our scrum teams, and we encourage it with those partners in the business that we're engaging with to work on things and to change the company. And that seems to work. We do some things. We have a leadership development program where we drive innovation in that. So we have individuals who sit in that program for a year and they pursue an innovative project. But the other innovation we do in the company is partnering with the business, and it happens in real time in our scrums.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. Okay. That's really helpful. Yeah. You know, the other question that I ask everyone, because we all have challenges, right? So if you could name maybe top 1 to 3 challenges that you're facing today, obviously a lot is going right, but are there some common challenges that you're facing right now? One being, as an example, as everyone's thinking about it, is the notion of cybersecurity.
Yep.
Are there any challenges that come to mind?
Absolutely. So cybersecurity is first and foremost. We believe that, I mean, we do all the things around cybersecurity hygiene that we can with regard to external penetration tests and upgrades and enhancements and things like that. For us, retiring technical debt is one of the most important things we can do to improve our cybersecurity posture. The other thing that's important for us is, as you mentioned, where to put the resources, is getting our business to critically think about what it is they're asking for and to own the return on what they're asking IT or any change that we're incorporating in the business to bring, so that they can represent that and we can deliver against and achieve that goal of return. So that's our other challenge. The third challenge is making sure that my team is delivering to the right level of error budgeting. And error budgeting is a concept we actually learned from Target last year, where we're delivering enough solution to satisfy the user to where they're in that zone of happiness. And we're not over-delivering to the point where it's not cost-effective and we're spending too much time and money to make something perfect. So those are kind of the three challenges that we're trying to address: is cybersecurity, improving our posture, making sure people are thinking critically about what they're asking for and owning the return of the deliverable, and then making sure our IT folks are delivering to the right level of solution and not too much to where we're wasting our time.
That's really insightful, Ben. Thank you. Yeah, it's really well said. My last question here that I have on the top of my head for you is, you know, if you were to give one piece of advice for someone that's starting out their career in IT, right, what would it be? As you look back at how you've grown through your roles in different organizations, do you have one piece of advice you'd give someone starting out in IT right now?
Yep, I would say be a business-minded technologist. And don't be too bound to applications. Applications are great. I remember when I was coming on, up and comer, Lotus Notes was like my favorite technology. I thought we could solve every problem in the business with Lotus Notes. And I learned very quickly early on that betting on one horse isn't exactly the right answer. And now today, with the advent of the fourth industrial revolution and digital transformation and the availability of data, things are more about outcomes and less about applications. So I would tell anybody that's starting new is be aware of the technologies and the power that they hold, but make sure you understand the outcome that the business is looking for before you apply the solution to that problem.
Very wise advice. Thank you, Ben. Well, there you have it, team. You heard from the EVP, Chief Digital Officer of Cambria. Thank you so much, Ben, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Dan. Pleasure to talk to you today.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. If you got value from today's conversation, please share this podcast with one person you think who would enjoy it. For show notes, episodes, and more, please visit thenegotiator.guru. Look forward to hearing from everyone soon. Thanks, and we'll talk to you soon.